The next time you're on Interstate 80, stop in and see the folks at the Iowa 80 Truck Stop at Exit 284 in Walcott, Iowa. They're always open and ready to serve you. Enjoy a sit-down meal at the Iowa 80 Kitchen or grab a bite from one of their 9 quick-serve restaurants. You'll love their clean restrooms, huge gift store, beautiful convenience store, and, of course, the Super Truck Showroom stocked with plenty of chrome, lights, and more. While you're there, don't forget to visit the Iowa 80 Trucking Museum next door. It's free. The entire team at the Iowa 80 is very excited to celebrate 60 years with you. They look forward to being your home away from home for another 60 years. Sending you a giant thank you from Iowa 80, the world's largest truck stop on I-80, exit 284 in Walcott, Iowa. Iowa 80.
It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show from the Uniden America Studios. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across the USA and around our planet Earth, we are Red Eye Radio. Good morning. Hi, I'm Gary McNamara. Eric is out sick still. Hopefully he'll be better today. He was better yesterday, just so you know. I did communicate with him early on, and early on he thought he was going to be back. He said that his fever had broken. He said he was still having, you know, some problems breathing because upper respiratory. And I just said, look, if you don't feel good, take the extra day off. Later on in the day, he called me back as fever had gone up a little bit, and he said, okay, I'm staying home. I said, good, because it's get over it and then come back in, and I'll just sit back. And as I said earlier, I actually enjoy when he comes back, and all I have to do is throw all the different topics at him. So what'd you think about this? 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 It's all always a lot of fun. All right, where was I? Oh, before we go any further, I just want to, just for future notice, and this was a great column, and I saw this yesterday, and it never hit me. It never hit me. There's just so many other things going on. And finally I went, oh, wow. Forget about never Trumpers. What about never Bideners? There's never Bideners out. There's more never Bideners than more never Trumpers. Large media organizations. James Freeman's column in the Wall Street Journal. Most voters say no chance they'll support Biden. Large media organizations have been telling Americans for nearly a decade about never Trump voters. And surely there are a lot of them, but perhaps such voters are not quite as numerous as the never Biden folks who have received comparatively little attention. Perhaps this is starting to change. Among all voters, Biden remains at a bit of a disadvantage relative to Trump in terms of the share of voters who have ruled out voting for him. 52% said there's zero chance they will support Biden, while 47% say there's no chance that they would back. That was on CNN. So there's more never Bideners than never Trumpers. And I love this. To this point, this is great. This is just the best. I really enjoy reading when people make the points that Eric and I make, but in a just much more wonderful way than I could ever imagine. To this point, standard courtesy among establishment media is to acknowledge Mr. Biden's unacceptability to a broad number of voters only in the context of the story that also notes Mr. Trump's unpopularity and concludes that voters are just unhappy with their options. And certainly they are. But Mr. Trump is frequently permitted to appear in stories entirely devoted to his shortcomings. Regardless of the quality of coverage, it is the accuracy of polling that is probably top of mind at the White House. If the CNN results are accurate, how can Democrats craft a strategy for winning an election in which most voters have ruled out the idea of voting for Mr. Biden? This from CNN. Donald Trump continues to hold an advantage over President Joe Biden as the campaign and the former president's criminal trial move forward. According to a new CNN poll conducted by SSRS in the upcoming rematch, opinions about the first term of each man vying for a second 4 years in the White House now appear to work in Trump's favor, with most Americans saying that looking back, Trump's term as president was a success, while a broad majority says Biden's has so far been a failure. Trump's support in the polling among registered voters holds steady at 49% in a head-to-head matchup against Biden, the same as in CNN's last national poll on the race in January, while Biden stands at 43%, not significantly different from January's 45%. Looking back, 55% of all Americans now say they see the Trump presidency as a success, while 44% say it was a failure. In January of 2021, the poll taken just before Trump left office and days after January 6th, 55% considered his time as president a failure. That's completely reversed. Assessing Biden's time in office, so far, 61% say his presidency thus far has been a failure, while 39% say it's been a success. Perhaps the political operatives, oh gosh, this is written beautifully. Perhaps the political operatives in the crowd can opine on whether they would rather be in a campaign that inspires a slight majority of voters to say they'll never vote for the candidate, or one in which a large majority regard him as a failure. Oh, well, one option for the White House is to attempt a reputational beating of CNN's pollsters until morale approves among Democrats. After all, polling is an exact science, even if it's a science. And Team Biden could attack the CNN survey as an outlier of questionable accuracy. The White House tried this approach with the Quinnipiac poll in 2022. Also, the White House could hope that CNN staff will start publicly questioning their own results, as the Washington Post did last fall when the polling yielded more bad news for Team Biden. Another option is to take the CNN results at face value and try to persuade never Biden voters to change their minds, but this would probably require Mr. Biden to make a public case for his candidacy, perhaps even subjecting him to unscripted discussions of the issues of the day. That would represent a significant change in administration policy. On Saturday at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, Mr. Biden joked about his media unavailability. They joke about it, and they all laugh. Why? Because they understand. Because they're not journalists. They are political activists.
And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just something I've noticed. We don't give enough credit to signs, and we really should. That sign over there tells you, great French fries. That sign over there tells you, this is your exit. And look at that legendary sign. It's the Motel 6 sign. It tells you, a great night's rest at a great price. Book online at motel6.com and use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. Look for the signs. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a great price when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letters CPRedEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That's a great deal. And that's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Bleav Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Here's the official transcript. Now, to all my friends in the press, this was what he said the other day, and Fox News, laughter, some of you complain I don't take enough questions, no comment. Of course, the New York Times issued a statement blasting me for, quote, actively and effectively avoiding independent journalists. Hey, if that's what it takes to get the New York Times to say I'm active and effective, I'm all for it. Laughter then happened. It's okay. I have high standards. I do interviews with strong independent journalists who millions of people actually listen to, like Howard Stern. Then there was laughter. Well, 2 years ago, in hopes of avoiding international catastrophe, this column recommended that the president avoid public speaking, at least on important issues, and especially if the remarks are not prepared in advance. The White House has largely adopted this policy, but this column suggestion was only intended as a stopgap measure until a person who could communicate and a coherent president could take office. At the time, it seemed fanciful that Mr. Biden would still serve another term. If the CNN poll is accurate, most voters have already decided that he should not. Wow, just greatness. Yeah, they know it. Oh, I know. I got to find that audio cut. All right. I'll find it here for the next segment here. I got to find the audio cut of them talking about Biden saying, "I'll debate." I think it was Meet the Press. And it was hilarious because they were all dying laughing. Like, it's not going to happen. We all know that's not going to happen. Come on. The other thing is, too, what they have problems with the administration is the fact that the media is reporting, you know, how bad the economy is. And the mainstream media reports it all the time. They may not attach Biden's name to it, but NBC was doing a thing on mortgages the other day, how people can't afford homes. And again, that just reiterates to people that, you know, boom, things are bad. They're not good. And so when you have them out there saying, why can't the people see how great the economy is? Here it is. I found it. Here we go. Politico's Jonathan Martin. Okay. And actually says something to Jen Psaki. All right, here we go.
I'm curious for what Jen Psaki's reaction would have been like if she was still in the White House when she heard President Biden blurt out during a live interview that he was going to debate. Because Biden's folks don't want him to debate. They don't want to give Trump that platform and risk exposing Biden like that on national TV.
Except I was thinking if I was in my old job from 2 years ago, you also don't want him to say no. Because no is weak. Stop. And no is fear. So you have to say yes.
Stop. You have to say yes even though we all know it's no. And they're all laughing. You should say they're all laughing like, they're on the left and they're laughing. They know the problems. So, yeah, let's talk. We'll be talking let's talk the never Biden folks, because there's more of them than never Trumpers. 866-90-RED-EYE.
This morning's USDA Farm Report is brought to you by Howe's Products. Tested, trusted, guaranteed since 1920.
It's clear that we are now moving into the heart of severe weather season.
This past week's tornadic activity in parts of the country, an indication of that, according to USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey. Yet,
maybe a little later than usual, actually. We were in late April. A lot of times we see pretty significant tornadic activity a little earlier in the year.
The four-day active weather event led to a preliminary total estimate of 137 tornadoes, with the peak on Friday of 86 tornadic storms. Primary damage occurred Friday, with communities in Nebraska, Kansas, and Iowa severely impacted. Saturday activity was notable in that
this is the day where we have seen four confirmed fatalities related to the tornadoes in the state of Oklahoma.
He adds more active weather is expected Tuesday and Wednesday in several of the same areas hit by tornadoes the past few days. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
This report brought to you by Cenex Fuels and Lubes.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara. Eric's still out. Hopefully he's better and returns for tomorrow night's show. You know, we've been talking about sanity on the college campuses today, also talking about the Democrats panicking. And really, it's, you know, post the White House Correspondents Association dinner and when Biden basically gave the marching orders, you know, that this election is about democracy. It's not a regular election out there. And then you had Schmoopy's husband, that's George Stephanopoulos, his wife, is the actress Allie Wentworth, who was in the Schmoopy episode with Jerry Seinfeld on Seinfeld. So we've always referred to him as Schmoopy's husband because he certainly is not a good journalist. But he came out with his opening monologue on Sunday morning about how this election is different and democracy is at peril. And he says this while the vast majority of Americans, even in the polling, believe the Democrats are using lawfare against Trump to keep as election interference. And so it's really ringing hollow when they just throw out the generic democracy without being able to tell specifically what democratic institutions he would take down. And so they're in full mode panic because of that. We played Nicole Wallace earlier, who said, you know, the press might not be here anymore. All your freedoms may be gone. I may not have a job. There might not be a White House correspondents' dinner next year. Pure garbage, and we all know it, if Trump is elected. When actually, when you see whether it's the states attempting to circumvent the Constitution and not have Trump on the ballot, whether it's the lawfare we see going on now, that as the American public tears us apart, they go, my God, they're making up stuff against Trump to put him in jail and to keep him off the campaign trail. And they're talking about democracy doesn't hold water. And then all the different polling numbers on every single issue out there, from the border to lawfare to where Americans stand with Israel and Biden does not. No wonder there is this panic from Democrats where Nancy Pelosi loses it and says that Katie Tour is an apologist for Donald Trump because she pointed out when Nancy Pelosi said that Trump lost the most jobs of any president ever, that was due to the global pandemic, and she called her an apologist for Trump. So somebody who is the most radical far left you could imagine is now an apologist for Trump if you decide to just spend one moment in the arena of truth. They can't handle it. And then this, the economy. This is CNN looking at the economy and the latest polling numbers on the economy. And a lot of the stuff we've been playing, CNN, NBC, ABC, all covering what's going on in the economy. This is CNN.
As you know, Americans don't assess the economy through the economic indicators and data that we all report on constantly. They assess it through how they feel about it. 34% currently approve of Biden's handling of the economy. So significantly lower than his overall job approval, 66% disapprove. And when you ask, how is the economy going today? What's your rating of it? 30% of Americans say it's good. 70% of Americans say it's poor. I just want to note here that the economy is overwhelmingly the most important issue for voters. This is not insignificant. And so while there are a ton of other issues that we discuss, and even issues that the president performs worse on, the Israel-Hamas war, immigration, the economy is still front and center for people. So this is something you're going to hear Biden talk about day in and day out to try to boost those numbers up as well.
But he can't. They've done it every day, and they keep getting worse. Why? All right, children. This is Mr. Gary here. It's called inflation. Can you say inflation? See, that's even worse than a bad economy if you talk about unemployment or a recession. Why is that? Well, let Mr. Gary tell you. Because people can work one job or two jobs and still can't afford things. That's what gives you hopelessness. That's how people judge the economy. And by the way, when he says, well, they don't look at all the different numbers. Yeah, they do. They may not be looking at the government numbers that you're throwing out, but they're looking at numbers. Oh, my God, are they looking at numbers? Here's how much I bring in. Here's how much is going out. So the fact that they keep trying to pump it, well, then this is the incredible thing. They're doing nothing to curb inflation. They're not trying to do anything to stop the problem. At the border, they're not trying to do anything to solve the problem with Israel and Hamas. They're not trying to help Israel, where 80% of the Americans lie. They're not trying to do anything. They're trying to play both sides of the issue. And so that's the thing. They keep saying, well, let's keep repeating the same thing over and over again that the American public isn't buying. And hopefully, if we repeat it 2.387 million times and not just 2.386 million times, that they'll finally get it. No, they're not.
HXX90RedEye. Now's your chance to be the caller. Red Eye Radio.
And I'm Gary McNamara. Eric hopefully is back for tomorrow's show. I hope he is. I know. I mean, when we texted each other back and forth yesterday, and at first he was going to come in, as I mentioned a couple of times earlier, but I know as we go through the show, we get a new audience that's waking up. But, yeah, it just has a little upper, you know, respiratory infection or whatever it is. Cold, flu, not COVID, though. Not COVID. He did put that out. It's not COVID. I think he's had it twice. And he's had COVID bad twice. But not the case this time. He thought he was going to be in. And then he said he was still, you know, having little problems breathing because it's upper respiratory. And I said, well, if you can't take care of yourself, because I know how it is to come in. It is the most awesome thing in the world to come in here every day and do a show. When you're sick, sometimes it's like you're just hanging on for dear life. It's like you're riding a roller coaster, but you're not inside the car. Your hands hanging on to the railing. You're like, of the actual car. That's what it can be like. But hopefully he is back very soon. You know, before we go to our audio cut of the day, and it's, by the way, it's a positive audio cut of the day. All right. It's a positive. And I'm not being sarcastic there. Just today is April 30th. Maybe I should use it today as a benchmark, even though I've been thinking about it really since late last week. We always wondered whether, you know, when the change would happen, because the Biden policies weren't going to work. You know, it's not, that's not even political. It's an economic argument. that the things that they're doing on the economy aren't going to work. And finally, all the promises of liberalism over the years has now hit reality. And now we know if we spend recklessly, your lives are a living hell with inflation. That's the first thing of that the debt servicing of this country has caused you. The last couple of years, inflation, you felt it. They're not trying to really cure inflation. They want to spend, if the Republicans weren't in power, the Democrats probably would have spent $3-5 trillion more. They were going hog wild. And inflation would have been a lot worse. Republicans should make the case that, look, we stopped these spending bills. We kept inflation. Inflation would have been worse if it wasn't for us. They should find a way to put that into their marketing somehow. But with everything that has happened over the last couple of days, to me, my gut is telling me we may be at that point where people are separating. Well, excuse me, not separating, but they are now relating Trump to the issues. I mean, the poll that got me was when people, and the poll asked specifically about the economy under the Trump presidency. It didn't say, what do you feel the economy is of Biden and what do you think it was before? Every time Trump's name has been used, until recently, if Trump's name was used in it, you could see a major difference on the actual issue being discussed if Trump's name wasn't attached to it. That is, to me, what Democrats have to worry about the most, because on the issues, it's landslide for Republicans and Trump. And I hope that's what DeSantis and Trump now agree on, that they can both succeed to their wildest political dreams while succeeding to their most wild dreams of moving forward legislation that makes this country richer, better, and safer. But with everything that has happened, I do sense panic in the Democrats. And some of the polling that specifically mentions Trump, he is now moving closer to where the public stands on the issues, which means there isn't this automatic knee-jerk reaction to Trump where they can actually look back. And it looks like, I'm going to guess it's between 10 and 13% of independents and disenchanted Democrats who have changed their mind over the last few months on the issues and things like what you think of Trump. It's somewhere between there is what I'm suspecting. Again, I'm just doing this in my head, just going over all of the different polling numbers out there, how the polling on the issues were different from polling Trump on the issues. And I think, for example, the whole democracy thing is also losing its oomph, because it's tough to sit there and say we're for democracy, yet the same people that listen to you say you're for democracy understand and look at it and say, well, no, you're not. Look what's happening to Trump. You're not criticizing the lawfare against Trump right now. You're not criticizing bogus charges. You're not criticizing that the current administration is using their surrogates to go after and create election interference on the lead opposition candidate and the lead candidate right now in the polling. People look at this and go, this is a banana republic. So they're losing that. I believe the Democrats are losing the whole democracy thing. It's falling flat. You know, when you have a 9-0 Supreme Court decision and Democrats come out and say, it's all the Supreme Court, they're all for Trump. Who believes that? And that was on the Colorado case where they were saying Trump can't run. Well, all you had to do is a basic knowledge of the Constitution, and you knew they were full of it. Where every single Supreme Court justice, including the most liberal, saw it and said, nah, sorry, we can't even go for this one. And that's where the American public and a significant portion went, sorry, you scream democracy you want, it doesn't mean anything anymore. It's falling on deaf ears. And so they're going to get more ballistic because that's the only thing they know what how to do is get angrier and angrier and angrier and angrier. And that's what you're going to see. And you're going to see instances like the Nancy Pelosi snapping at MSNBC host Katie Tour, calling her a Trump apologist because she said when Nancy Pelosi said, oh, well, Donald Trump has lost more jobs than any president ever. It's like, well, that was a global pandemic. What are you, a Trump apologist? But it happened. It happened. It happened. I'm not denying it happened. I'm saying it's a global pandemic. You're a Trump apologist. Apologist. They're going to be turning against each other now because of the massive panic, because that was it right there. And if you could see the face of Nancy Pelosi when she said that to her, it was the most indignant, arrogant, narcissistic face you could ever see. How dare you question me on anything? Nobody clarifies a position that I have. Nobody tells the truth about any position that I have. I'm Keith Hernandez. I'm Nancy Pelosi. Everything goes back to Seinfeld, doesn't it? All right, let's go to, I want to go to our audio cut of the day. This is Jewish students and other students on the University of Texas campus speaking to a reporter. And I wanted to give you here this because there's been so much negative news about the racism that exists in our college campuses, that filthy stinking rot that professors, the majority of professors, are promoting at these quote, so-called quote, elite universities. And it's great to see these students have this to say at the University of Texas.
The rest of their students are allowed to be in class. That makes no sense. It's against America. This is against Western values. It's not just a Jewish problem. This is an American problem.
Are y'all all UT students?
Yes.
Yeah, I was just taking a final, and this is just an intimidation campaign. I'm trying to scare Jews off campus. I'm trying to do my final, and in the background, I hear they're chanting for the death of Israel, the death of Jews. It's completely unacceptable. If they want peace, they don't stand for anything like it. You know, Israel is a democratic state. It's the only democracy in the Middle East. This is, at the end of the day, they don't want Jews on campus. They're trying to scare us off. They don't want us here.
Are you going to be scared off?
No, absolutely not. We will not follow our history. We will not be led like lambs to the slaughter.
What are your parents telling you? Finals are coming up next week. What are your parents telling you? Do you want to come back?
They're telling us to stay away, at least mine. And in my opinion, I'm going right into it. This is not a time. We have to be strong. History shows us that if we're strong, we can defend ourselves.
What are y'all's parents saying?
Just be safe. Be careful and be aware.
Are you going to come back? Do you want to be part of your team?
Of course.
Guys, you too?
We're not going anywhere. This whole thing is a huge scare tactic.
You see what's happening at other campuses across the country. The administration's doing nothing. We are really blessed to be at a school where they are happy to send in a police force. They're happy to protect the rights of all students, not just Jewish students, anyone who might be at risk from protesters.
I heard other Jewish students today at a pro-Palestinian rally supporting this. What do you say to those classmates?
I think that to those Jewish students, it definitely It's definitely upsetting as a Jew because I think they're not educated. I personally have been to Israel 8 times. I've been on the border of Lebanon. I've been on the border of Gaza. I've seen this all firsthand, and I would love to just talk to them and say, what have you seen? Where have you been? Have you heard Holocaust survivors speak? Have you heard victims of terrorist attacks speak? I think they're misaligned, and it's a shame because they should be a part of the Jewish community that's there to support them.
You wanted to say something?
Yeah. Like, in general, you have, it's a very leftist, like, people on the left, a huge LGBTQ population in that crowd. They have no idea what would happen if they were to step foot in Palestine. They'd be stoned and beheaded. Israel, in fact, is the only nation in the Middle East that supports LGBTQ people. I find it ridiculous that you have so many people in that crowd that are so ignorant of this fact, honestly.
There you go. I wanted to play that so there's optimism out there for many of the youth in America that see what's going on. You know, that's the interesting thing here when you think about it. You know, as I've said, you go back, you know, to college campuses and you go back to racism. This is the most bluntly racist and anti-Semitic, you know, protests that we've ever seen. Pro-terrorist, pro-anti-Semitic, pro-racist. And you can throw in the pro-misogyny, the misogynist of these universities on the campuses and the professors when it comes to the radical transgender movement. But the thing about this truly is the insanity, as he just mentioned. And I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, or last week, about my friend Independent Bob, who's like just screaming, how can the LGBTQ be promoting Hamas? They'd execute them like that. And that's the thing that I think stands above this even more is the idiocy, the ignorance and the idiocy of these protesters not seemingly understanding anything, including their own incredible racism and anti-Semitism and pro-terrorist, pro-genocide point of view. And they're complete idiots promoting an enemy that would kill them immediately without a trial just because of their beliefs. It's the idiocy that I think takes us even to another mind-boggling level here in the United States. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara. Oh, let's all say go, Eric, and hopefully he's back for tomorrow morning show. Great show. Thanks for all the input today. It's just, you know, you shake your head at, you know, just yesterday was just an amazing day seeing the protest, going on. And it was good that we found the audio from the University of Texas students, the Jewish and non-Jewish students that weren't putting up with any of it. But understand that the rot here, the filthy rot of racism, anti-Semitism, pro-terrorist, pro-genocide mindset, that it's been taught to these young people. And many of the lessons they've learned comes from tenured professors at these elite universities. You're not going to get rid of the rot unless you get rid of the source at those colleges. I don't see that they have a bright future with this rot existing there.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together, it's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on, right? How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? You pay me more.
Jeff Smith, right? Teaches on the sliding scale.
Those Weekend Golf Guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets Podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.